Returning to Tradition is a production of Weather Media. The views expressed in this podcast are those speaking the podcast alone and make every effort to present truthful and cynic. What we discuss the podcast not necessarily represent the views of the Diocese of Columbus and Protocol College Josephinum. Join today's show and please follow the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Returning to Tradition. I'm your host, Chris Dixon, joined with
your co-host, Emma Singletary.
And guess what? You'll hear that sigh that Emma did during the intro because we are all on one track today.
Woo!
Every season, we have at least one episode in person, and this is today's episode. Well, we have. That's true. Because last season, season four, we did one at Seek at beginning of the season. And now here to close out this season, we're back at it again.
In the nursery.
In the nursery, back on our old stomping grounds. The last time we recorded here at St. Thomas More was a hot second ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a really long time.
It has. Okay, so let's get to today's idea. I'm going to increase the idea here. Long story
there's
short.
There's so many quotes.
This is not organized. I made this
years ago. Are we just going to read the Star Wars?
This is my note. See, I don't know what your notes are. So.
I don't see Star Wars as profoundly religious. I can totally steal all your ideas right now.
Yeah, except for these are quotes from George Lucas, but that's okay.
Dang. So what are we talking about today?
In case Emma didn't just give it away, it's Star Wars. And the reason we're talking about Star Wars is because Emma and I had a little chat, and I've thought for quite some time, and everybody's always thought, because it's kind of obvious, Star Wars, Christianity, there's some sort of relation going on there. George Lucas says that, but he's also like very clear it's not religious per se.
What was his religious background?
He's, I think, very a-religious, and so that's why Star Wars itself is a-religious. Not irreligious, but a-religious.
Hmm.
So, like, Star Wars has ideas that exist in all these different religions. Like, within Star Wars, you have
the Father and the Son. The devil.
Well, no. Well, so
spiritual warfare.
Speaking of the Father and the Son, there's an episode in Clone Wars, the TV series, where there's a three-person embodiment of the Force, which is the Father, the Son, and the Daughter. We're just going to throw that out there. Now, if you read any more into it other than that there's a three-person embodiment of the Force, it starts to break down.
Can't think about it too much.
The Daughter and the Holy Spirit don't relate well. The Son's also the embodiment of the dark side of the Force, which wouldn't really work because, again,
Jesus defeated the dark side.
As I believe we mentioned last episode, Christianity views evil as a lack of good, not on a like spectrum of good to bad. There's just good and nothing, like good and no good.
Side caveat.
Yeah.
Father Brian brought up space and time in his homily.
Yeah.
So Father Brian, if you're listening to this right now, this special episode is for you.
He might have the nursery mic'd and he could be listening literally right now.
He probably could be. But he is also a big Star Wars fan. Before we get too far into this, I feel like we need to acknowledge almost every religious male that I know is obsessed with Star Wars. Like, Father Brian has lightsaber battles.
We should just have had Father Brian come in for this episode. I mean, let's just go to his office right now.
Actually?
No.
Oh.
I mean, we could if you really wanted to.
Probably here. So bad is the absence of evil, like we talked about in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Absence of God, not absence of evil.
Yeah, but the point is Star Wars doesn't have that same idea of good and evil as Christians do. So that's like strike one against Star Wars. Let's talk about strikes in favor of it.
there's many spiritual dimensions to life.
Yeah. It's not where I was going on the notes there, Emma. That's okay.
It's the only thing I could read.
At the top there of the notes, apparently George Lucas has confirmed that "May the Force be with you" is a variation on "The Lord be with you."
They rhyme.
Well, yeah, and also I think everybody has always taken "May the Force be with you" very much
as a
"The Lord be with you" type dealio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Affirmed.
Yeah.
I don't want to steal your whole idea.
So, oh, yeah, the thing that's in caps that says, see, my idea.
No, so my idea is that the Force is spirituality.
Would you like to explain that, Emma?
Yes, because it is, it, I really think Star Wars is all about spiritual warfare, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's constantly acknowledging that there are two forces in the spiritual life, right? Like the force of good, of God, God's voice, and the voice of the evil one. Obviously has no power, but it is the absence of God and can tempt us to do, you know, not great things. Just like the force often turns the mind of those, like the evil force, you know, when we start to manipulate it and make it our own, becomes a force of evil. But Yoda is like the good force, and his Jedis are like the apostles, and Luke is the Pope.
Okay, that may have taken a little bit far, but the first part of the argument is exactly what I was going for. So yeah, Emma stole my idea. The Force is spirituality, because I think exactly to what Emma said, it's, you have your spirituality. You can choose to either do good or evil with it. And there are forces. I didn't mean to say that, but there are forces on either side of you trying to clamor for you to follow the light or the dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the angel and the demon on each shoulder, as, you know, people would like to say. Or, you know, maybe Baby Yoda on one side and ugly Emperor Palpatine on the other side.
I don't think he'd fit. Isn't he fat?
Yeah, but he's ugly, so, you know, it fits with the whole devil and demon idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now, Emma, we can make my 7-part argument about forest ghosts.
You have thought about this so much.
I haven't opened this document in years, but...
Oh my gosh, what did you do this for?
Fun.
Okay, this is everyone's PSA. If you ever need someone to do busy tasks or chores, call Chris, because he has way too much time.
So, my idea here is, so forest ghosts, particularly in the case of Darth Vader turned Anakin, right? And the whole Darth Vader turned Anakin thing is, I think it's complicated, because on one hand, Anakin is the chosen one, which... You know, chosen one is obviously very Christian in its undertones, but then also he very clearly sins, which Jesus didn't. So that fails. But at the same time...
But maybe like an Abraham or a Moses.
But at the same time, Darth Vader's conversion, to use a Christian term, back to Anakin at the end of the 6th film is what Christianity is about, because Christianity says... You can live a life of death and destruction. And in that last moment of death, if you repent, you're saved. And then we see, again, at the end of the 6th film, the forest ghost of Anakin appear. Which, the whole idea of forest ghosts and how that happens, you have to be instructed, is what they say. You have to be instructed in order to become a forest ghost. Like, how to undergo that process.
Which means you have to be one with the Force to do that, right?
Well, there's no way that... So, like, Yoda was learning from Qui-Gon Jinn how to become a Force ghost, is what I've heard. And so that's why Yoda's a Force ghost. That's easy. How did Anakin become a Force ghost? there's no way Luke told him in the 2 seconds he had before he died.
Yeah.
You know, because Yoda had to undergo all this training. Answer? Purgatory. Should have seen Emma's reaction right there.
Sometimes I forget that, like, no one can see me. My nonverbal cues are very important.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's just my thought. Yeah.
I think, yeah. It's a strong argument.
You know, again, we're playing with stuff here.
Oh my gosh, Chris, you are so possessive of your ideas. And, Chris puts my idea in all caps
The reason it says my idea in all caps is because I'm taking these quotes and stuff from other people. So I want to emphasize what's my idea versus what's somebody else's idea. So everything else is somebody else's idea.
Okay.
I'm just noting what's my idea. Okay. Are you calm now?
I'm up to date.
Okay.
I'm up to
date. Good. So we have a problem then with our whole idea of the Force.
Midichlorians are physical and not a personal choice.
Your ability to interact with the Force in Star Wars is limited by your midichlorians, or as the current Bad Batch series would call them, your M count. The midichlorians in your blood. What we saw, Anakin had the highest count of midichlorians, you know, higher than even Master Yoda, you know? So that's an issue, because if the Force is spirituality, then this is saying that your ability to interact with spirituality
is dependent on what you naturally have.
Yeah,
it's kind of like dependent. What's the word? Not prosperity gospel. Predestination.
Yeah, it is very predestination-like. But at the same time, just because you have a high midichlorian count doesn't mean
you were born with it.
Well, you still have to train in order to attain that.
Make it Catholic.
Well, it's true, because we all, to some extent, we all have to train our spirituality.
Yes.
To make it deeper, more in depth, anything like that.
Yeah.
The issue here isn't the fact that, you know, we're all given the opportunity and, sorry, Emma just stole one of my French fries. The problem here...
It was just sitting there.
Yeah. The problem here isn't that we have to change our spirituality with time in order for it to grow.
But it's a natural progression.
Grow in the Force with time. The issue is that there's a limit placed upon your spirituality. In the Star Wars universe, there's a limit placed upon your spirituality, which we're calling the Force. There's a limit of your Force abilities. There's an upper limit that exists.
Based off your M count.
Based off of how you were born.
But I can make this Catholic.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Has Sarah talked to you on the microplastics idea?
No.
Of the Eucharist?
No, let's hear it.
Okay, it's a concept.
Maybe we've got to bring Sarah in here.
That when you receive the Eucharist, like, that there's... We were just hypothesizing, okay? Like, what if... Even to a cellular level, there was a transformation in the cells that touched the Eucharist. Like, one that we couldn't see. And, like, within that, there's plasticity of how long you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Like, a vessel, like, a tabernacle of the Lord. Because basically, this all started because we started wondering, okay, after Mass... We would always call each other, oh, we're human tabernacles, like after Mass. So then we began to think, how long am I a human tabernacle? So we asked a monk. We call him Father Monkey because he was a father as well. And we said, Father Monkey, how long are we tabernacles? He said, well, if you ask, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, it's 15 minutes, but he just made up that number. And
before
I said,
before Emma continues, I like how they're asking a monk, which is hilarious because it's a monk, which... We really shouldn't be able to talk to. But
he's a father. Oh, he gave him his name.
I got it. I understand you had access. However, I like how that's their first step. So, okay, according to Aquinas,
it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he was like, but he just made up that number. So like,
yeah.
No one really knows. And then Sarah's like, well, what if we were actually transformed in ways that we couldn't perceive? Mm-hmm. And we were always impacted by that. What if there's these little deposits of microplastics of the Lord within us that would be relatable to the M count?
But again, I think I like the idea. I'm not saying it's heresy for sure.
but it ain't like, truth.
Well, how that relates to Star Wars, I think the issue still is
that there's a limit.
The fact that there's a limit, and for everybody, yeah, that's different. Like for Catholicism, what you get out of the Eucharist is what you put into it, for lack of a better word, your preparation before Mass, your spiritual devotion.
But regardless of anything, you're receiving the Lord.
Right, but you receive different graces depending on the disposition you have going in. Yeah, the issue with Star Wars, though, is
that it's predestined.
That you have a limit. You can't continue to grow. You can continue to grow, but only to some point.
Yeah.
Which is the issue. Yeah. Do you have other stuff to say?
I was just reading your notes.
Do you have other stuff to say while I search to see if there's anything else worth
it? No, I think that's a... you just need me as filler words? No, I think it's a good point. And I think how lucky are we to have a merciful God who wants us to grow as much as we can. You know, that there's not a limit placed upon us. Like, when we're born, we're actually all called to aspire to the highest level of holiness. And it's attainable for all of us through Christ. And I think that that is a blessing that, you know, our spiritual life isn't like Star Wars.
Yeah. One final closing thought here on this very short Star Wars episode that we have for you guys. from George Lucas, he said, children love power because children are powerless. And so all their fantasies surround power. And who's more powerful than Darth Vader? Darth Vader is more powerful than Luke because he is the father who is all powerful.
Is Yoda more powerful than Darth Vader?
No, because again, he has Anakin, Darth Vader has a higher midichlorian count, the highest ever known. It's like an episode one thing. Come on now.
Okay. I feel like Star Wars is like the spiritual life if everything was slightly twisted, and thank God it's not. Like, if the Father wasn't loving, if we had a limit to holiness, like, but I think if you were to untwist all of those things, there's very deep theological truths. Like, that could be, like, I could see Star Wars as a magnificent tool of evangelization, especially within children. Of just like, because I think it's difficult to envision the spiritual life. I don't necessarily like the full implications of like the analogy, but I think the analogy of the spiritual life that surrounds us all the time, mm-hmm. like I think that's something that we all need to grow an awareness of. And if you grow an awareness of it because you watch Star Wars and you understand there's, you know, a force that surrounds everything and we can either do good or do bad with that, then I feel like if that's what makes it make sense, that's great.
Yeah. I agree. I think also applying spirituality to Star Wars is important because it shows that those who fought for the Republic and died, think Andor, are martyrs. It, like, if this is religious, then what they're fighting for, these plans, if you will, that to take out the Death Star, are being able to steal these plans is the equivalent of destroying evil, mm-hmm. which is the equivalent of like Jesus dying on the cross, is what's in those plans, which is effectively what happens is Darth Vader has to self-sacrifice himself for his son, Luke, like Christ does on the cross. Christ sacrifices himself for his sons and daughters, us, on the cross. Darth Vader sacrifices himself in literally a physical way. He dies as a result of it in order to save his son.
So Darth Vader is Jesus.
As we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast,
there are limitations to this analogy.
Anakin Darth Vader is the chosen one. He is all powerful, as George Lucas said.
See, would have initially thought that Luke was Jesus.
Well, that's because you aren't a prequels fan. Like, get with the program.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I grew up watching all the Star Wars movies. I think it's because before my brothers were born, my dad just chose me as the one that would watch these.
The chosen one.
I was the chosen one for Star Wars. And I grew up watching these. And I go and I watch the new ones, although I've heard hot topics on if they're good or bad. I enjoy them. But I have never, to this day, watched them in order.
Like, how have you watched them?
Hey, Emma, come to the living room right now. I'm watching Star Wars.
Okay, do you not have Disney Plus or something?
I don't know if I do.
This needs rectified. Anyways, the point that I was going after is that Andor, the Rebels, the Republic, like, the Rebellion in general, is a early Christian church effort that has a high risk of death, but it's done for the worthiest of causes.
So would the Death Star exploding be like the newness of time?
No.
Because it's when evil is like officially fully defeated, right? Because first Christ dies on the cross,
well,
right?
It would Darth be, Vader except for the sequels himself. Exist, which you just said you liked. Which
but
just
if we just ignored
them. Decrease my respect for you.
If we, I said I enjoy them.
In my head, I ignore the sequels.
Okay, but if we were to ignore the sequels, then the Death Star exploding would be the fullness of time.
Even then, no, because evil still exists. Like, think the Mandalorian. Like, there's still evil people. There's still conflict ongoing. And at the fullness of time, there will be no conflict anymore.
Okay, so at the end of that movie, okay, it was point blank over. No more Star Wars for the rest of existence. That would have been the end of Revelation, right?
Yeah, if the Star Wars franchise ended chronologically in the Star Wars universe with Episode 6... So we could still have prequels. We could still have movies and stuff that exist before. I forgot about the bell. That really ruins the podcast. we could still have episodes and stuff before Episode 6. But anything after that.
This is the most nerdy podcast we've ever had.
Yeah. I was really thinking about bringing a guest on in for this one.
No,
especially considering Emma hasn't watched them in order.
Okay, I've watched them so many times, though. I've just never watched them in order. You know how long it takes him to watch them in order? So long.
I've done it a few times.
Oh my gosh, Chris. Like, I feel like that's borderline gluttonous. Like, to just sit there and watch them for like 2 days straight.
I didn't say I sit there for 2 days straight or a day and watch all of them at the same time.
Did you do that one time?
No. Have I watched all of them in like a matter of days, like a movie a day or something?
Yes.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
During Holy Week next year, I'm going to watch one to follow the process of the Passion of Christ. Just kidding, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a movie series could be a fun thing. We could do The Lord of the Rings next.
Yeah.
Although that is just Catholic.
Oh, one last thing that is kind of obvious and important. The Jedi as a priestly order.
Me like that.
Yeah. So
like that I do. I'm going to say everything in Yoda
no,
today.
No, you aren't. Yeah, you, that, you
do
just
that, I will.
Yeah, so Jedi as a priestly order. Okay, they're celibate. They aren't all male, but that's
Chris
fine.
Chris just became a priest so that he could be a Jedi. Just say it.
Ask Father Brian, and you know, I'll go with whatever his response is. And also they have Padawans, which this whole Padawan apprenticeship program.
It's literally altar servers.
Is altar servers and then seminarians, especially like as you advance the ranks of Jedi, right? And then
is Princess Leia Mary?
No, but that brings up another good point. So changing things back around, Anakin was immaculately conceived. So, because Shmi says in the first episode, he had no father. Anakin has no father. He was just put in. So Shmi Skywalker is Mary in this case, because Anakin's Christ again with, you know, a sinful Christ, but still Christ.
It can't be Christ if he's a sinful Christ. That's like...
Well, yeah, because that obviously makes his whole passion pointless. But
yeah. Maybe he's like Adam.
I mean, maybe, but still, then he would have to be the first person. It makes more sense, really. If Anakin didn't fall, if you will, then he is Christ. He's the chosen one. He's the most powerful.
Is that not what Adam was? The first,
he's immaculately
first
conceived. Well, he's not the chosen one. For what? What was Adam necessarily chosen for? Also, people existed before Darth Vader.
Did they, though?
What? It makes more sense, I think, to view Anakin, Darth Vader, as a Christ-like figure. How about that? Instead of Christ. Itself. Anyways, we're getting off track here.
There was nothing on track about this.
No, very scatterbrained, but you
but
know.
But we hope that you guys can take this podcast to prayer and come to deeper revelations about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your lives.
Or maybe just, you know, sit in silence in front of the monster and disregard everything you heard on this podcast.
That might be better. You might just want to like erase the last however many minutes from your brain. Sorry for taking your time. Podcast is over, it is. Meep.
That was awesome. We're going to see if Emma can make it an hour and a half without peeing her pants. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh, wait. I drove all the way from Edmond, and I'm drinking coffee.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be a podcast. What's the quote? We got to find the quote.
Wait, what's my quote?
I don't know, but there's a great...
Peeing my pants.
I think it's like, does it count if your pants aren't wet?
Oh my gosh.
Or something like that. Let's find out what the quote is. Quote, it doesn't count if your pants are wet. I think that's supposed to say aren't wet. In any event, you said that and attributed said quote to me.
You did say it.
Falsely. Yeah, also, quote, every podcast my pants get wet, end quote.
Because I pee my pants laughing, okay? But I've been doing Pilates and it's been helping a lot. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Returning to Tradition. Oh, wait, we have to play the name game. 3, 2, 1.
Beef.
Yeah! Let's go! You hear that high five? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a horrible high five.
Okay, let's do it again. Wait, so now you're eating on the podcast?
I can do whatever I want. It's my podcast. Also, has the podcast started yet?
Yes.
Has it?
It's 4 minutes and 38 seconds in.
But has the podcast started yet?
You're right.
Have I said hello?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Returning to Tradition.
And I ate breakfast. Really good high five.
I had yogurt in a fig bar.